Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. I love spring, but I struggle with allergies, which are not the most fun. Luckily, with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, I can say bring on the blooms and face allergies head on. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. I'm obsessed with Kleenex. I always have a box of tissues nearby. I'm always carrying them in my purse. I feel like that prepared friend. But I do have allergies. You could probably hear it in my voice this time of year. You know, we're struggling out here, okay? But if I'm going to be rubbing this tissue on my face, you know, I have makeup on. I want it to be like soft and comfortable. I don't want to like, be ripping up my nose. And that is why I love the Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, because they'd get the job done. They're non-irritating. They are just the go-to. I mean, doesn't everybody love Kleenex? I feel like I grew up using Kleenex. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we get into Gavin Newsom and his faux pas, and we get into the news. We're also going to get into a deep dive in original Woodstock and the surprising bands, some of the bands that said no. And some bands that were there will surprise you. Anyway, first I'll tell you about LifeLock. Cyber criminals hide malware in emails that look like real invoices, invites, or payment info with a document attached that, when clicked, installs malware in your computer. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. This holiday season, you can miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit alone and bank statements as well. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used in their network, they will send you an alert. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No, to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam.
Christmas time is here. The halls are decked with boughs of holly, and we're ready to get drunk and fight with our families. Carolla Drinks is here to help. This Christmas, Adam and the gang want to make sure the holiday season stays merry despite this goddamn pandemic. That's why we're offering the Carolla COVID Christmas Combo, which includes a Carolla Christmas t-shirt featuring Adam as anti-masker Santa Claus, a bottle of your choice, and a 2021 calendar filled with pics of the entire ACS staff and signed by the entire ACS staff. The Carolla COVID Christmas Combo is available at CarollaDrinks.com for $49.99. Get it for yourself or the ACS fan in your life. Happy holidays from everyone at Carolla Drinks. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and brought to you by the Stereo app, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Perez Hilton. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, reminding you as you do your Thanksgiving shopping this weekend, keep it falutin' free. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on your mandate. You get it on now. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We'd love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
She tasted like champagne.
Perez Hilton, everybody.
Perez.
All right. I got thoughts, and I got a thought about Woodstock and the bands that declined to go to Woodstock.
Ooh. Oh, interesting. Like the original?
Yeah, the original Woodstock. And, you know, you always hear about the legendary bands and then that were at Woodstock. And then you hear about the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Who, I think, you know, bands. But to me, the more interesting part of the story is small bands, or bands you never heard from again, or bands that right. disbanded, the ones that
could have heard from,
could have been a part of Woodstock and declined it. And, you know, it strikes me, nobody knows what Woodstock is before Woodstock. I mean, you get a call, your manager gets a call, hey, a bunch of guys are going out to a cow field, right. you want in.
It doesn't sound appealing.
It doesn't sound appealing. But it also kind of lets you know that while luck is a pretty big factor in this whole thing, it also, you have to a little instinct and intuition, because every band who participated had a choice, and the ones, some opted in and some didn't. So I was doing a Take a Knee interview earlier today, and Woodstock came up. And I was trying to think of, like, obscure bands from Woodstock, or bands that people mm-hmm. didn't know. I think maybe, like, Sha Na Na played Woodstock, I think.
I think you're right.
They played Woodstock. Yep. You know, you're always thinking about...
They played right before Jimi Hendrix. They opened for Hendrix.
That's a good pairing. At the Hop.
Yeah, you think about Janis Joplin and, I don't know, Richie Havens or somebody like that. But you don't think about Sha Na Na.
That's at least a band I've heard of. I'm looking at the lineup, and there's bands that I could not 100% tell you were a band or an artist. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird how success meets opportunity and luck equals success. Like, yeah, you got on the stage at Woodstock. Did you kill it? Are you great? You know what I mean? Right. Did you have the goods? Like, yeah, you were there.
But... how many of those guys were just fucking loaded off of their ass and just showed up and sort of mailed it in and woke up the next day and didn't even really remember being out on stage? I mean, how many of those guys were just beaked out of their mind on God knows what? I was also thinking Sha Na Na. So it's like I could picture a couple in the audience at Woodstock going, you know, it's mud everywhere and it's bedlam. And they're like, Sha Na Na's coming out. And then Jimi Hendrix, and the guy going like, oh, I'm going to take a bathroom break. And he just starts peeing himself and shitting himself right there. I don't think that had to be a bathroom break in Woodstock. There were no outhouses. They're all full up.
Or they were 500 yards away. It's just not practical to go there.
Yeah, you were just loaded and you just piss yourself and roll in the mud. So I bet you no one from Woodstock has got this COVID.
Oh yeah,
they're hardy,
rolling around in that mud for 5 days. They'll cure what ails you. So
who's the band 10 years after?
Yeah,
is that a band you know?
Yeah 10 years after.
Everywhere is Freaks and Harry's, Dykes and Fairies, Tell Me Where is Sanity.
Yeah,
I'd love to change the world.
Dawson, will you read my stepson bedtime stories?
Yeah, that was 10 years. Yeah, it's kind of an epic song. I think they just had that one song. So I said, I think the Flying Burrito Brothers were at Woodstock, and then it led me down this road, which is, no, they were not at Woodstock. They declined to play Woodstock. And I started thinking, what other bands do we not hear from anymore that, or not too far after then either, like just gave a hard pass to Woodstock? But Dawson knows the Flying Burrito Brothers story, because there was some Crosby, Stills, and Nash in there?
Vaguely familiar with them. The bands that started in Los Angeles in the mid to late 60s were incredibly incestuous. Everybody was in everybody else's bands. Bands broke up. The original Flying Burrito Brothers was a Graham Parsons band, except they never recorded anything. So Graham started a new band with Chris Hillman and members of the Byrds, and they called that the Flying Burrito Brothers. And it's all over the place. I'm going through the Wikipedia here.
Don't they have some connection to Poco or Loggins and Messina?
Yes,
or
yes, somewhere.
Yeah,
it's all connected.
It's all over
various
the place.
Members.
So what other bands, Max Zapata, passed on Woodstock original?
All right, so there's a band called Free.
All right, now.
Free. Rogers.
Paul Rogers, right.
They passed. Spirit declined.
I got a line on you, babe. Yeah,
they declined.
That was on Freedom Rock.
Yeah.
Mind Garage declined. They were the pioneers of Christian rock.
Oh, boy.
And they declined. So who knows what Christian rock could be today?
Wow. The real Jars of Clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because probably when they were trying to get Janis Joplin, they're like, Jimi Hendrix is going to be there, so you want to be there. But when they're trying to get Mind Garage, they're like, Sha-na-na is going to be there. You're going to want to be there. Up with People. We're out to Up with People. Wow, Christian rock band passed. All right.
But they Mind Garage declined because they thought the festival would be no huge deal and they had a higher paying gig elsewhere.
Right.
Lame.
Six Flags over Atlanta or something, right?
I thought this was funny. Tommy James and the Shondells declined.
Crimson and clover over and over. Yeah.
Tommy James would later say, we could have just kicked ourselves. We were in Hawaii, and my secretary called and said, yeah, listen, there's this pig farmer in upstate New York that wants you to play in this field.
Right.
And that's how it was put to me, so we passed.
Yeah. It's like a totally topical TiVo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's easier to pass on things from Hawaii than it is from Van Nuys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I guess a lot of bands that were pitched Woodstock were a lot of the bands that declined because they were pitched wrong. Like they just thought, oh, we're playing in some field in the middle of nowhere. Why would we do that?
Now, the Flying Burrito Brothers obviously knew a little bit more because David Crosby was a contemporary there. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young were playing. It appears that Graham Parsons had a fear of flying. Mm. So instead, they set up a train tour across the United States. He didn't want to fly to New York.
Wow. See, different reasons for different bands. But, yeah.
You have to imagine they probably, being a music festival, they want to attract people. They probably went out to some bigger bands that declined, the Beatles, the Stones, you know, those. It was 69, right?
Those bands
were still together.
They went out to a bunch of big bands who probably wanted to headline or something, or maybe the Stones were like, doesn't sound like there's going to be enough stabbing going on.
They're at an engagement at Altamont.
Yeah, like Led Zeppelin was asked to perform, but then the manager said, "Oh, you guys will just be another band at the festival. Don't
right,
bother."
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, they're Led Zeppelin. Well, they landed on their feet, but
they did okay. But I mean,
I don't know about Mind Garage. Maybe not.
But maybe there's hardcore fans, or maybe a generation older than me, whatever. But I wouldn't know. I probably wouldn't know who Joan Baez was if she wasn't connected with Woodstock. And I love Joan Baez, and I wouldn't have researched her. You know, she's just one of the big names that came out of that festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a. Some of the bands you never heard of played there, and then some of the bands you never heard of didn't play there. Yes, Dawson.
Would you like to hear some Mind Garage?
Yes.
Boy, would we.
This is the Mind Garage.
This is 60s Christian rock. I praise you, dear Father. Praise you,
Dr. John. Have you got some medicine for my head?
Doesn't sound very Christian to me.
This isn't that bad.
Dr. John. Have you got some medicine? Oh,
they do have a song called Communion, and parenthetically water. So let's see if that one's a little more Christian rocky.
Used to be a lot of doctors and for my head.
Mm. Yeah, in 68, a year before Woodstock, they had their Electric Liturgy, which was the first documented Christian rock worship service.
Wow.
Electric Liturgy.
Rolling water.
Yeah.
Ocean water.
This isn't that bad.
Ahead of time.
There's got to be a story where one of these guys dropped out of the band, got a job for IBM working on, some of the early generation computers, and then went on a fishing trip and was never seen again. There's got to be one guy from Mind Garage that just mysteriously disappeared. or is living in Costa Rica, but they're not sure if he's there. They pronounced him dead. There's got to be something with one of these guys.
He's starting a new group with McAfee right now.
That's right.
So a year after they declined, the recording contract was about to expire. RCA offered to renew it, but Mind Garage declined that. They broke up. The drummer, Ted Smith, went on to have a career with the Spinners as their tour drummer.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then in 2007, they came back for a reunion for Goodstock Music Festival.
Is the drummer white or black? Feels like a white band, but when you think Christian rock, but I guess there's black Christian rock bands, and then...
That's the ultimate badass, a white drummer for a black band?
Black drummer.
Black drummer.
Ah. Yeah.
This one's called The Lord's Prayer.
Awesome.
Is it a ballad?
Deep cuts. Are you pulling this stuff off the internet, or was this shit on your phone?
Yeah, it's my personal collection. I brought in my record today.
This is ringtone.
Wow,
I've never heard of this band.
All right, now we need to find out if one of them went missing at sea.
This is the Our Father.
Oh, okay.
Should be Thy Kingdom Come.
Oh, look at you, dog.
This doesn't work.
Thy will be done.
That's a no for me, dog.
They're Catholic.
On earth as it is in heaven.
This is brutal. As it
is in heaven. Oh, wow. Look at that crew.
Oh, so.
Looks like the cast of Godspell.
Yeah, so I've never been more correct in my life. I'm like, there are no black Christian rock bands, but there are no white drummers for the Spinners. So how does it work? And it's for the whitest dudes on the planet with a black drummer. Well,
why
now
is
works.
One of them dressed as like the gay Blade?
Yeah, he's a swashbuckler there in front.
God. You know, it's weird. You know, it's weird when you look at these old pictures and, you know, people like when you look at the girls see themselves from the 80s or the 90s and they go, oh, what was up with my hair? Like, I can't believe the hair. But this is the hair, the threads, the boots. This is everything.
These guys were made for Woodstock.
I know. God. And one guy looks a lot like Eddie Van Halen. The
he
guy,
sure does.
The guy
yep.
wearing the pirate smock over there. All right. Well, you can keep looking up Mind Garage.
Yeah, of course.
Am I wrong, or are they specifically a Catholic rock group? They're talking about communion and the Our Father.
It's a lot of Catholicism in there, yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah. They other than the Beastie Boys, do they have any Jewish rock bands?
You've never heard of the Klezmonauts?
Bruce Springsteen?
Oh, yeah, true.
Right, but the band was encouraged by their college campus minister, an Episcopal priest, who helped the group to organize its religious repertory.
Yeah, they didn't give Catholics those jobs back then.
Interesting. All right. So in sort of local California news, as I turned on the news this morning, they've busted our good governor, Gavin Newsom, for his French laundry escapades because... he got busted for going in the first place, but then he kind of said, I think he said it was outdoors. I think that was that was his first move. And I don't know if he said people were socially distancing.
They're shoulder to shoulder around a table
and
in a closed room.
Yeah. I mean, the average distance is 9 inches between each person.
And do you know why the door is closed?
I was going to say.
It's a sliding door. It closed because they were being so drunk and raucous and loud and ruining everyone's expensive dinner at French Laundry that they had to close the door.
So it was funny. Gina and I were chatting about this before the mics heated up. When Christy and I went, we had a table that was right by French doors, like French windows that kind of just opened up to a balcony. And we could see that very room from our point of view, from our vantage point, is down below. It's a private room. It's enclosed by glass, but the door is open so as to make it open air. So Gavin was probably trying to be clever. He's like, oh, it was outdoors. It probably started open air, but they closed it because they were so loud and annoying. But Chrissy and I made a note of it. Like, that fucking room looks sweet. We gotta book that room someday.
And well, do you know who he was with?
Oh, yeah.
Co-workers, right?
No.
Oh, sure.
The medical. Sure. Go ahead, Gina. Tell us.
Well, a couple different. Yeah, the I might be getting the name wrong because I'm just remembering this from yesterday. But like the chief of like the California Medical Association
Yep,
and lobbyists.
Oh, God.
Right.
Lobbyists.
The yeah. same. The California Medical Association who's been telling us to do exactly not what they did.
Yeah.
Yes.
To put your mask on between bites when right. you're chewing yeah. at a restaurant.
Right. To distribute the mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving with a T-shirt cannon. That's what they want us to do, right? But of course they're not doing that. Now, look, once yeah. again, so I was actually talking to Dr. Drew about this, and what I was saying is Gavin Newsom isn't scared of this thing, and he doesn't believe in this thing to the extent he says he does, or even half of to the extent he says he does. Because, you know, you can say, oh, he's a hypocrite. He tells you to do this one thing and he does the other. But if you really just think about the psychology of something, if you are really worried about something, like if this is real to him, like you could be stricken, you could be killed by this, you could end up in the hospital. This could be devastating to you or your wife or anybody else at that table. If you're really worried about something, like you really believe it, and, you know, we have things we believe in and things we don't believe in. And the things, there are things you take lightly and then things you take seriously. I would never get into a race car without a full helmet, fire suit, Hans device, and everything. I would never dream of it. On the other hand, I drive through red turn arrows in sweatpants and a T-shirt all day because I've deemed, I at least believe, I've believed that the one thing is inherently dangerous and the other thing isn't. So
your actions will belie your true fears or feelings.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a kind of emotional way of doing that. You know, if you're married or something and your wife or your husband says, you do this again and we're getting a divorce, and you go, yeah, all right. And you do it again. That just means you're not scared of it, or it's you don't think it's going to happen, or it's low risk for you. So Newsom does not take this seriously in that in his mind, this isn't what he's telling us it is. And if it is, then he would never put himself into that situation. Not the hypocritical part, getting busted part. He would just go, that's far too dangerous. That's indoors. There's, I think, 7 different families were represented there, at least according to Drew. Everyone is arm in arm and everyone's laughing and, you know, shouting and gesticulating and enunciating and shooting spittle all over the place. So he doesn't think this is a problem. So we're heading into a mega lockdown. And really what we're dealing with here is I don't think anyone's going to listen. I can't.
There's a boy who cried wolf element to this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he also, it's also how you act when you're an apex predator. So you are not in a state that could go one way or the other, Democrat, Republican. You're just super majority Democrat, always Democrat, no problemo. So he's not looking over his shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, you got to know everyone has a fucking phone and everyone has a camera in their phone. And you're very recognizable, especially in California. And you guys are hooping and hollering over there so much so that they got to shut the doors because you're disturbing other people. Why aren't you paranoid about somebody taking a picture of you and this? And yeah. The answer is who gives a fuck? Or what are you going to do? I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's Newsom. Well, Newsom's not scared of this. He's definitely not scared of it. He would not participate in this. So he doesn't care about it, and he's not scared about it. Now, you have to understand, do you want to listen to the guy who's not scared of it, or would you like to make your own decisions? Yes, Brian.
Oh no, Gina's on the deck.
An unlikely partner in this thinking. I was so excited to show you this. I think this is from yesterday. Chris, if you can throw that screen grab up. Not towing the party line from CNN. The headline is, this Democratic governor thinks his own COVID-19 rules don't apply to him, which I thought you would find refreshing.
Well, Democrats, beware, because, you know, now that Trump is you know, in the you know, in the drainage ditch of life, they got to go after somebody, and they're coming after
you. Barrels are still hot.
That's right. All right.
Yeah, New York Times also posted a headline like Fox. Governor of California says, "Do as I say, not as I dine."
Yes. All right.
Ooh, so nice headline.
Now it's coming. All right. So that's that story.
But the Los Angeles Times and their hard-hitting reporting, remind you, said, you know, that he apologized for breaking the spirit of the law.
Well, then everyone do whatever the fuck they want for Thanksgiving, and then we'll apologize.
Apologize.
When we're
and
when we're
you
done.
Know who's on board with that as well, who apparently is going to put out a statement later, but the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, is like, you guys should have consulted me. I'm not wasting my guys' time handing out tickets for this shit.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have a lot to worry about.
It won't be enforced heavily.
No. Correct. Or at all. Although at all. I did see, maybe Max Zapata, you can find this. You want to know the height of wherever. I saw footage. I hadn't seen this before. Maybe Dawson had seen it. I think maybe April or May, they arrested a lone paddleboarder, a guy in a stand-up paddleboard.
Yes.
And I know these guys well. I don't know them personally, but what I'm saying is in Malibu, you'll see guys just standing on one of those stand-up, I guess it's a stand-up paddleboard.
Stand-up paddleboard.
And they're just paddling with the single
paddle. Just rowing along.
Visually. He's in the middle of the fucking ocean, and there's nobody around him, and the Coast Guard pulls up to him, and they take him off in handcuffs. Now, here's the thing. We'll show you the clip. He's by the Malibu Pier. Evidently.
The best part about this is at that moment in time, he is literally the safest person on the planet.
I was going to say, what danger is he posed to himself or others?
Well, Brian, but what if five people tried this? Now what?
We'd have five times the danger of zero.
What if your super sickly elderly Nana pulled up next to him on a Ziffy board? Then
what's funny about your absurd line of questioning is that Christy and Tessa have gone paddleboarding many times this summer. Granted, it was in Orange County, but they love it. They just up and down the bay, and it's I can't imagine anything safer.
What is that? When was that from, Max?
This is beginning of April.
All right. So here's the thing. And, during this whole pandemic and all the politics and all that's been attached to it, this is where I'm at. The people that arrest guys like this are fucking dumb, but they're doing their job. The decree was nobody shall be in the ocean, and this guy went into the ocean, and somebody told the Coast Guard or the lifeguard, go get in the boat and go get this guy. So they're kind of foot soldiers. Mm. And then the people on the beach, and like I said, he was handcuffed. Now, look, if I was a sheriff or a cop, I would never fucking do it. I would just go, I'm not going to do it. If you want to fire me, fucking fire me, but I'm not doing it. But they're doing their job as well. He's being led from the beach. Now, something
now
dangerous.
He's in harm's way because
we're looking at far more dangerous.
Yeah.
Right. He's being led from the beach. All right. I hope he doesn't get thrown in with a bunch of hardened murderers and pedophiles.
What are you in for?
Yeah. But, okay, fine. Here's the real tragedy of that story, and here's kind of been the angle that I've been pursuing since this thing started. Why the fuck aren't Americans fucking outraged over this? That's the part. It's not the media. It's not the cops. It's not the Coast Guard, and it's not the lifeguards. It's fucking people. Everyone should have been fucking screaming, this is nuts. This is
the
insane.
First time I was aware of it when you brought it up.
Well, versions of this then. People being arrested for being outdoors and, you know, like I said, like closing the parks down. The point is the fucking sheep that have been going along with this fucking shit and not raising their voices, that's the insane part. And all the fucking talking heads on the news were like, well, he was told not to. They should be going, this is fucking nuts. This is the United States. This is California. Why aren't more people outraged by this? Max Bannon?
This is your... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
What?
You look like you were leaning into the mic. Sorry. Oh, no. Go ahead, Gina.
This is your sunny Pokemon theory. You are going to be so embarrassed if you take part in this, if you go arrest a guy paddleboarding. Like I said, right now at this moment, is the safest human being on the planet. What side of history do you want to be on?
Pulling
the paddleboarder off of his board.
The scariest part about this entire episode is how fast a retarded douche like Gavin Newsom or Garcetti can snap their fingers and everyone just turns into sheep. Mm. Everyone's just like, pow, I'm sheep now. Mm. Fuck, what the fuck happened to everybody? It's nuts. It's fucking sad. It's fucking pathetic. And by the way, I'm the world's number one asshole because I've been talking about this for 6 months. All right.
That was my point when I said I hadn't heard about it till now, was I'm shocked that this hadn't garnered more outrage. You said it happened in April or something. That's crazy. I can't believe this hasn't made like the social media rounds.
Well, because the news is interested in a narrative. And
I get that. I'm surprised that it hasn't been shared. Like, this is very shareable. Like, what the fuck? We should all be like, what the fuck is the way we are?
I agree. I don't know. I didn't know about it either. All right. We got news coming. Let me hit Blue Nile, looking for a gift that sparkles this holiday. BlueNile.com. Build their dream engagement ring. Choose from hundreds of thousands. Wow. Ethically sourced GIA graded diamonds in every shape, size, with endless selection of settings, or celebrate life's special moments with Blue Nile's exclusive light box. Lab grown diamonds, fine jewelry, released just in time for the holidays. And the collection includes new and exclusive earrings, pendants, bracelets, and rings. Accessibility, priced and set in 14 karat gold. Give the gift of premium light lab grown diamond fashion jewelry this year with Blue Nile. Right, Dawson?
Celebrate your love and life's special moments with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Adam Carolla listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through December and includes engagement. Use code Adam. That's code ADAM. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Okay, and make a deal with you. I'm going to use the word grim to describe the first two stories, but they're not grim milestones. Right. They have nothing to do with COVID, as far as I know. A couple of grim stories, though. Singer Bobby Brown's 28-year-old son, Bobby Brown Jr., has died. He passed away in Encino Wednesday afternoon. One of seven of Brown's kids. He, as you might remember, Brown lost his daughter, Bobby Christina, 5 years ago. I think that was 2 years after Whitney died the same way Bobby Christina died. Right now, for Bobby Brown Jr., there's no reason given for the death yet, but nobody suspects foul play.
So it seems like there's some addiction in that family. And
some.
You leave it alone and, you know, you can make it to 28, but eventually it catches you.
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh and be crass, but like, this always bothered me when that show was on the air. It was popular. And it was like, oh, what a train wreck. It's so, they're such a mess. Watch those. Like, a lot of those people are going to fucking die. Those people watching.
Everyone said the same thing about Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
What a train. What a mess. What a hot mess. It's like, no, she's dying in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it's kind of like we always kind of talk about when a guy would get concussed in the NFL. And like,
yes.
Look, he got his bell rung.
Yeah, he's shaking off the cobwebs.
He's walking to the wrong huddle. Look at him.
He got jacked up.
I know. We had a very weird relationship with head trauma and with substance abuse. It's the same in addiction. It's kind of the same thing. You're laughing because the person's doing something that seems nutty or out of control because they're either concussed.
Look, they can't stand up.
Or they're dying of an addiction. Yeah.
Yeah. It's distasteless.
I don't have the story in front of me, but I think this is it. Speaking of that, I was going to mention to you the other day, we did a story that two teens are being charged with manslaughter after they sucker punched a kid, like another classmate, and it killed him.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about like those head traumas. I think they're 13 years old. They're being charged with manslaughter.
I've been talking about that for a long time, and no one seems to care, I guess, but Rick Moranis. But like people coming up and socking people in the fucking head when they're walking down, New York, they're in New York City, and it's the Hasidic Jew guy comes walking by and you just whack him, you know, getting punched.
Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Getting punched will fuck you up, but when you go down,
you free fall on your head
and your shoulder blades hit first and then your head whips back onto the cement. That will fucking kill you. Like, we're not, it's this thing that's like, it becomes some sort of game, but, and no doubt those guys saw it on the internet or saw it on the news or whatever it is, but Jesus Christ, it's going on a lot. And it's like, they're coming up behind them and shit. This isn't like an after school fight. This is just guys coming up behind you.
Well, yeah, there's no honor in this one. It's not everybody meet at 3 o'clock by the bike rack. This is, like you said, a complete sucker punch. The story is one boy hit this kid, Diego, in the face, then punched him in the side of the head, and he fell backwards and hit his head against a concrete pillar. So they're being charged with voluntary manslaughter.
Where did this take place?
Moreno Valley.
Oh, boy.
Moreno Valley.
Were the kids like, was it totally random or they have some beef with the kid?
It looks like this kid that ended up dying had been bullied and harassed on social media and they were just kind of picking on him.
They saw a weaker kid and decided to pick on him.
Yeah.
I hate
that too. Speaking of weaker kids, I had to go pick up Sonny at school today. COVID protocol, like he had like a temperature or something.
Ooh. Is he okay?
Seems okay. Made him steak and eggs when we got home. Fucking polish that shit off.
What a life.
He eats like a king.
You can't go get him from he's like in a separate room, and I'm, of course, doing the, I don't want to get out of the fucking car. Just send him out. No,
he's in the airlock and then the spaceship.
The hatch.
You have to come get him. You have to come get him. And I'm like, I'll just pull up and honk the horn. No. You got to come get him. So then I had to go to the nurse's office, and then he's not in the nurse's office. He's somewhere else. And then once you clear it in the nurse's office, then he can be released from captivity wherever he was.
And
then
hostage exchange.
Yeah. So now he.
Let me see my guy.
He seems fine. Yeah. I don't know what kind of temperature he had, but he seems fine. But now Natalia doesn't want to come into the house because she thinks he's got the COVID. So that's going to be a fun evening.
You're going to have to do a pop-up tent in the backyard.
I was going to say, she's camping out back.
A yurt.
I'm such a weirdo. I had to put the mask on to walk him to go onto the campus.
Of course.
As soon as we got in my car, his mask and my mask both came off. And that kid's diseased. So I also gave him a kiss on the lips before he left this morning. Wow. So
tempting
I don't know.
Fate. Typhoid Sonny.
Are you going to – is he going to get a COVID test? Is that part of the protocol?
I guess.
Wow.
We'll have to work that one out. I don't think
they go pretty far in the nose, man.
I don't think they told him to get a test, although I should ask him. All right, we'll figure it out.
Sweet quarantine for 14 days.
Oh my God.
See you in a fortnight.
Oh, he would love that. Yeah. All right.
Well, one more sad story. So Naya Rivera, we remember that story of her drowning. Her ex-husband, Ryan Dorsey, has filed a wrongful death. I would
Wait a
love
minute.
Garagos'
Her son drowned, right?
No,
she saved the kid.
She got him back on. Yeah.
Yeah.
She got him back on the pontoon or whatever. She just sort of slipped under the water. I would love Garagos' take on this. So Ryan Dorsey's her ex-husband. He's filed a wrongful death suit following her passing. So
against the kid?
Yes. No, and on behalf of Josie, the 5-year-old. So they're suing Ventura County, California, where she drowned. The United Water Conservation District and the county's Parks and Recreation Management for wrongful death and negligent infliction of emotional distress. According to Us Weekly, the family's complaint alleges that Rivera's death was preventable and that the boat she and Josie had rented from Lake Piru did not comply with U.S. Coast Guard safety standards. The documents also cite other fatal accidents on Lake Piru and claim there wasn't a single sign anywhere warning of the lake's dangerous currents.
Adam, didn't you have a thing about Garrigus where, like, you were like, your next thing is like sewing bodies of
the water?
Yeah, it's going to sue the Pacific Ocean.
Well, that's a good start. Small, do Lake Piru.
All right. Well, I'll see him tomorrow, actually, because we're doing a that's live right. Reasonable Doubt at West Palm Beach at the Improv. So we'll
curious
be doing our show live tonight and stand up later, but for the late show. But yeah, I'll ask him. We'll bring it up.
If the boat didn't have the right number of life jackets, for example, that's you can sue over that violation, right?
Well, and I think there's something to be said that so many people die in that lake. Maybe they need to come up with something. But yeah, suing the water conservation, who knows? So that's a good Garrigus question. Some hot ball news in a year lacking any true superstars. It was kind of fitting. I don't even know if you guys knew. I'm sure you did. At the NBA draft was a very low-key live streamed event. And probably the biggest question was where LaMelo Ball was going to go. And he is going to the Charlotte Hornets. He had the number 3 pick. He and his older brother Lonzo are now the only two siblings who've both been drafted in the top 5. And the Minnesota Timberwolves used their number 1 pick to take shooting guard Anthony Edwards. He's from University of Georgia.
Goose?
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly. I said, damn, he's quite the Renaissance man.
Where did, Ball, what did he go? Like fifth or something? Third?
They just said.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
He went third.
Okay.
And Lonzo, I don't know where Lonzo went, but they both went in the top 5.
Do you think
Lonzo was second?
Do you think the Timberwolves, who chose not, and the Warriors for that matter, who chose not to draft Ball first or second, just didn't want to be part of the circus? I mean, there is some baggage that comes along with the Ball family, as we experienced firsthand.
Ball baggage. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I would imagine that in any organization, first and foremost is the ability of the players, as we have seen Terrell Owens and guys like that are sort of locker room poison, but they make their way around the league.
And, Antonio Brown?
Yeah, just the guys. Like, if you can go out there and perform on Sunday or whenever game day is, that'll be first. But if it's going to be a coin toss, like if it's kind of between this guy and that guy, and, you know, one parent is the Ball and the other parent, you know, teaches classical piano or something, I got to believe that's going to factor in.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And says, you know best.
Yeah.
You take care of him.
Yeah.
You
know. What do I know about basketball?
That's right.
Right. One other piece of sports news. Are you familiar with Robinson Cano?
Cano.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure.
From the Mets. Mm-hmm. He is suspended for the entire 2021 season because he tested positive for performance enhancing drugs, and it's his second violation. The first time, so he's going to be suspended without pay for a full year. And he was with the Yankees. He was with the Mariners. He first failed a PED in 2018. That cost him 80 games. And following that season, he was traded to New York, where his play declined dramatically. But during COVID and the shortened season, 60 games, he started to look more like his old self. And he's 38. He still has 2 years remaining on his 10-year contract, but he ain't playing next year.
It's weird how much of in this life, whether it's, you know, 3 strikes and you're out. And it's always the guy was stealing a bag of Doritos and now he's going back to jail. Like, are out millions of dollars with your major league contract. It's pretty weird how people, when you have to say to someone, hey, don't do this thing, they mostly always do it again.
Yeah.
And I guess if you have to say it, then that means it's going to happen again. Like, I don't know. Most people that I've spoken to in my life about, hey, don't do this or don't let this happen again or you're late all the time, stop being late. They don't take 2 weeks off. They're late like 2 days later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that commitment is to whatever this thing is that you already got busted for, but you shall be busted again. It's it'd be nice if people kind of went, okay, lesson learned. Not going to, you know, it's like recidivism with prisoners. Like, everyone goes out, gets right back into crime, goes right back to prison.
Right.
Like, what didn't you learn about being in that god-awful place for 7 years that would make you want to go right back? And what makes you think you're impervious to being busted? You did get busted multiple times. Like, you think you've
They're
got
watching
it,
you.
You think you got it out of your system? I mean, I feel like you were in prison because you were caught. We have established that you're catchable.
That's but this gamble.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Gina.
Well, this gamble seems like one he was willing to take because it says his play declined. He sucked. And he was like, well, I can't do it any other way. So shoot me up. I'll roll the dice.
Well,
yeah, we talked.
But how much of it you think is there's got to be baseball is so psychological. And once you're on the stuff, like, I don't know, maybe you're taking Viagra and you don't need Viagra. But then once the Viagra gets taken away, now what?
You know, you're like jumbo feather.
Yeah, you're up in your own head now, right?
Yeah,
this kind of touches on our conversation from, was it yesterday about psychology? Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the day before, we talked about psychology a lot. Like, I hadn't followed Robinson Cano's career that closely in the last few years, but how much did he need it? Was it a lifestyle? Did he convince himself that he needed it? Was his play declining? Was it a combination? How much of it was psychological, like we were saying?
Well, now as soon as you're off the juice, you got to every time you walk to the plate, you got to think to yourself, "I'm not on this juice," and maybe you're fucking yourself up more than just not having it in your system. There's got to be a big psychological dynamic. All right, Gina, what else?
We'll have a year to think about it. A year off. Big Alec Baldwin, Kelsey Grammer news. They're teaming up for a new comedy series coming to ABC next fall. According to a press release obtained by People, 20 Television is the studio behind the project. It'll be spearheaded by Modern Family's co-creator Chris Lloyd, and it doesn't have a title yet, but it's said to follow three men, two are Baldwin and Grammer, and they're who were roommates in their 20s until they fell out. The series will focus on when they reunite years later. They don't have a third actor yet to be cast, but
this is a Corolla part.
Yeah. This is
all baby doll.
If I know Baldwin, this is a pure money grab. 100,000% just a big fat money grab. They must have they backed up the Brinks trucks for those two. When that Brinks truck was backing up, it hit another Brinks truck, which is trying to get up the driveway. Like, there's no fucking way either one of these guys wouldn't do it without just massive amounts of money. So, which is fine.
No shame.
He got into Match Game. You know, Match Game pays him oodles of money. And
what are we talking?
God, I think I'd heard once. Well, first things first, they gang tape those things, as you know, as I know. And I think they'll do like five in a day. I think I did maybe five in a day, at least four. And so it's basically you got to come into the studio and you work like 8 long days and you get $11 million. You know, it's like that kind of a kind of a payday. You know,
deal.
It's not just the big payday. It's the gang tape, spread them out, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it is 2017. He was reported $3 million for 2017, but they probably renewed it and probably upped it. It's a lot of fucking money for not really a lot. I mean, he does a great job at it, and I think he, you know, seeing as I've been there for 10 of them, he seems like he's having fun with it, and he invites people on that he likes and that kind of stuff. But it is, you know, he would be teaching acting at NYU or on some NPR whatever thing. And he does a lot of that stuff. But this has got to be just pure, pure money.
For both, because this is not my world, so you'll have to forgive me. Actually, Brian, you might have the answer to this, but I don't. Wasn't Kelsey Grammer's wife or ex-wife on Real Housewives?
And wasn't there I wouldn't some know, sort of but are you talking about Camille Grammer on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Yes, they divorced during the fourth season.
Thank you. So perhaps he's looking to recoup some expenses as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's – obviously it's a big money grab for both of them. I don't know. Kelsey Grammer.
If James was cast as the Third Doctor, I would tune in.
I would tune the fuck in. Yeah. We'll get him on this show one of these days. We'll get James on.
He's a fan.
Oh, yes.
Said he was a fan. All right. What else we got, Gina?
So after being grounded for nearly 2 years following a pair of crashes which killed 346 people, Boeing 737 MAX jets are about to get the green light again, go back into the air. Boeing has worked to re-engineer the jet after the company was forced to ground 800 of them in March of last year. The FAA appears to ready to allow the plane to resume flying again beginning next month. American Airlines is the first U.S. carrier to return them. That flight's being scheduled. It's the first scheduled flights for December 29th from Miami to New York.
Well, I'd wait for the second flight. And also, you know, when you're on the blower and you're announcing, you know, get the seatbelts on and in-flight, Wi-Fi, I would keep that one on the down low. Like, I wouldn't be going, hey, good news, everybody. This is the first flight after being
welcome, one and all,
after being maiden voyage
deemed too dangerous, not airworthy. They said, "Well, that was a scant 26 months ago, but look at us now." Yeah,
you know why this wouldn't bother me actually to fly on like at all. I'd be happy to fly that flight because it didn't it have like the one problem, and since that one problem's been identified, I'm not worried about that happening. In fact, this is probably the safest plane in the air.
Well, you know, it's true in that it's kind of like when I was flying just after 9/11 and everyone was freaked out to fly. It's like that's probably the safest time to fly. The terrorists don't go, we got a really big plane related terrorist action on Monday and then we got another one planned for Wednesday. Like that's about it for a decade or more. You know what I mean? If you're planning something, once the dust settles on the first disaster, you're probably good after that. That's probably, and you're right. This plane has been gone over like, you know, a president getting a physical, right? Like there is probably nothing, no more scrutinized bird in the air out of the, you know, 400,000 commercial planes that are sitting somewhere right now. This one has been gone over with a jeweler's loop. So yeah. That being said, I wouldn't fucking do it.
Yeah, Adam, when we went to Texas, our first shows once the pandemic hit, we would go to LAX, and the place was like a museum. It was just entirely dead. If you saw anybody, they were wearing those full hazmat suits. And I remember people going to me and going, I can't believe you're flying right now. And I thought, this is probably the safest it will ever be just because of how overboard everybody's going to be taking this.
Right.
And now when we fly, it's actually like it's just everybody's just wearing the face mask, and there's a ton more people. And I think they're even seating the center seats now. So
I kind of judge everything by traffic in terms of like, is the populace heeding the warnings and staying home? And when I was driving home from the studio yesterday, it was wall to wall traffic on both sides of the 101. Like people are out.
There's rush hour again.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because we're going to be at the airport today. As you hear this, I bet it'll be quite a bit more busy.
It's definitely been getting busier each time we've gone.
For those of you who don't like traffic and don't like crowds at the airport, but do like to get out, it's been kind of nice blowing through these airports.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else we got, Gina?
Well, Zoom is taking pity on the people who aren't going to see each other for Thanksgiving this year. So they're lifting their timed meeting limit on Thanksgiving so the gatherings don't cut short. Because
that's the one time we need the time limit.
That's right.
Oh, 45 minutes is up. So sorry.
If you don't pay, then you get 40 minutes.
There you go.
But the video communication company said that they'll lift that from midnight on Thursday for 24 hours. And usually, I mean, it's not free. It's from $150 to $200 per year. You do get unlimited minute meetings. But for Thanksgiving, if you're going to sit your little laptop up, well, you know, you eat your yams with somebody else on the other side of the country, you can do it for as long as you want.
How did we all simultaneously agree on Zoom in, you know, mid-February of this year? Like, I hadn't heard much about Zoom. Right. I didn't hear people saying, well, we'll have a Zoom meeting or we'll Zoom somebody in. They'd say conference call or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, everything got locked down and everyone's like, yeah, we're we're doing the Zoom. But
I give Vinny Tortorich credit. We've been Zooming for a couple years now.
Did everybody? So, but it doesn't seem spread out, like this company, that company. It's like everyone just went. It's like Twitter. It's like everyone just went, boom, we're Zooming.
Yeah. I mean, you can do, you know, Google Teams or whatever, FaceTime.
Christie's company does Microsoft Teams.
Oh, right. They do.
Yeah. That, and we do that at work too, but
well,
that's
contracted with them.
There was
Zoom is the new Google, because it's the new verb. Oh, let me Google that. We'll Zoom tomorrow.
Adam, your question is great, because why Zoom and why not Skype? Why not FaceTime? You know what I mean? Like why this?
This has the best stability.
Not only that, but everybody seemed to be aware of it and agreed upon it immediately. Right. It was this, oh, we're going to Zoom in this guy. And it's like, okay, well, I guess that's what we'll do. Like we'd been doing it for 5 years with a bunch of, but for me, I was like, what's Zoom? Well, here it is.
I think the reason we chose it here was, I mean, obviously it is good video chat, but it has a one-click join, and we have a lot of guests on the show, and I don't want to have to teach them how to use all these other programs, so I could just send them a link, they click it, and they're in, and that was really nice.
Find the TV, the kids' TV show, Zoom. You guys remember that bad boy?
Mm-hmm. The Zoom Room.
They had a song, which wasn't really the height of creativity, but it was like, we're going to Zoom. We're going to Zoom, Zoom. We're going to Zoom, a Zoom, a Zoom, a Zoom. It's the biggest cop out in the world when you write a song. And it's not quite, you know, it. There are no other lyrics other than we're going to Zoom. We're going to Zoom,
work
Zoom.
Smarter.
We're going to Zoom, a Zoom, a Zoom, a Zoom. It was like a Saturday, like electric company kind of weird TV show. One of the many things that made my childhood fucking miserable. WGBH from Boston. What year did Zoom come out?
I'll find out.
This is too new. Oh, the 70s version. Yeah, all right. So let's see.
Ooh.
We're going to Zoom, 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 Zoom.
We're going to Zoom, 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 Zoom.
Everybody's doing it. Everybody's moving it.
Kids are so gay.
I'm Laura.
I'm Joe.
This did not make it to the Bay Area.
I'm Bernadette.
Who are you? What do you do? We need you. We're gonna zoom, 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 zoom.
I've even seen him.
Zoom,
this is from the Eastern Bloc, I believe you.
I had the same relationship with these fucking TV shows as I did with the free lunch ticket cafeteria slop I would get in the sixth grade. It's like, well, what else are you going to do? It's like, this is the worst fucking hot dog I've ever. This hot dog is gray. This hamburger tastes weird. These beans are old. The corn's all watery. Everything's a fucking disaster. But the answer was, so then what?
You go to the cafeteria next door?
You're going to In-N-Out? No. Yeah. All right. You want to go eat some sand? No. All right. Would you like to read a book? No. Well, there's a show called Zoom. What's that? Bunch of fucking hippie kids running in a circle, giving their name. Well, that sounds boring as shit. Did you want to read a book? Let me ask you again. No. All right.
I said no.
Well, Zoom is not about anything, and it's boring as fuck, and the kids are talentless, but you're not reading a book, and there's people moving. There's things. They move, and there'll be sound coming out of that little speaker on the Zenith, so it'll be like you have a friend. You have Zoom info?
Yeah, so Zoom went from 1972 to 78, a half-hour educational TV program created almost entirely by children. It inspired shows like Sesame Street and The Electric Company, but it designed...
Inspired?
But designed...
Wait,
to get,
it inspired them?
No. Oh, inspired, sorry, inspired by.
Inspired by, thank you.
Sorry, but designed to give the kids who watched it a voice without adults on screen, it was, for the most part, unscripted.
You don't say.
Far from seeking to make stars of the child performers, their contracts prohibited them from making any TV appearances or doing commercials for 3 years after they left the show.
Wow, why? Because that
formula
chubby,
for success.
That chubby chick Mara is a superstar. I can't believe they held her down. Jesus Christ. That's the shit I had to watch. By the way, kid shows made by adults suck. You can only imagine what kid shows made by kids. That's one of those great 70s ideas. Like, it's a kid show, but it's all done by kids. It's like, that's awesome.
Sounds worse.
We're going to start an airline with all children pilots. Sounds cool, right?
All kids dentistry.
Yeah, right. Like, Zoom. Obviously, it wasn't heavily scripted, thus the Zoom theme song. We're going to Zoom. We're going to Zoom. We're going to Zoom, 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 Zoom. See if you can find a sketch, if there's even such a vignette.
Oh, good.
While you do that, Zoom. Here's when you would lament the entertainment of your childhood, here's how I know you're not exaggerating, because I didn't come around that much longer after that, and none of these survived 5-7 years into like syndication or something. No. I'd never heard of Zoom. When you go on about like a Land of the Lost or something, and like, I don't have any concept of what the fuck that is, because it wasn't good enough to like be around 5 years later. Mm-hmm. Like, at least like the G.I. Joes and Transformers of my childhood have a life now because there was something interesting about them.
Well, and like the 70s sitcoms, I can tell you every Brady Bunch, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, because those went into heavy syndication. But yeah, the Land of the Lost, that's all that I know nothing.
Well, there's the Bugaloos too. But
outside of this show, I've never seen a frame of those things you talk about.
Well, maybe there was something more nefarious afoot. Like, maybe they were trying to get me to read a book.
Right.
Like, my hand more would start stick. Shaking. It would slide toward the book, then I'd grab it back and put it on my lap, and then I'd hear the kids doing another sketch that all the kids wrote, and I'd be like, this close to opening a book. And like, maybe they were trying to force you to get out of the house and get some exercise and read a book or build something with the Lincoln Logs or something. Because the stuff I used to have to, and you're completely at the mercy of the TV set, because obviously no TiVo and no recordings and no anything. Mm-hmm. You just sat there and watched Zoom. You have a Zoom rejoin or back.
Oh, boy. Yep, here we go.
Dialing the phone.
Bubba's. Bubba's. Wubble. Dubba Lobbins. Bubba's Ubby. So back to Zoom.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
Did everyone hear that?
Back to the show.
I know the structure of what that was. I don't know what that was trying to accomplish.
Yeah. 80% of it was in English. Like, I don't.
This is what happens when you let kids write a kid's show. It was also part of the 70s kind of kids express themselves like your adults too. It was all blah.
Guys remember?
Also, I have the same brain, I got the same brain I got now. It's not even like if it was just a fucking dumb kid, like an 11-year-old, like a regular kid, they would have been bored and angry. I was super agitated and super pissed off. Like, what the fuck is this? I was 11, like screaming at the TV set because I got the same brain,
I got notes.
We were lucky enough to have like Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel and all that stuff.
Embarrassment of riches.
But do you guys remember You Can't Do That on Television?
Yeah.
Alanis Morissette was on it.
Oh, right.
That was fantastic. And I say that as a child watching it. I haven't seen it. But it's all Canadian.
Canadian,
and it was these kids. And it was like laughing for kids. And at least there was something that was trying, like a sketch comedy show.
Max Bauer, remind me to do a kid's show written by the elderly.
That's
we get something decent in there. All right, let me hit Madison Reed. There's Madison Reed. You guys know about Madison Reed. Madison Reed's makes fine hair coloring for the ladies. Lynette loves this stuff. And they decided, we're doing such a good job with the ladies. How about the fellas? And then Madison Reed Mister came along. Great blending, natural looking color for your hair and beard. You can check out the before and after shots. No shoe polish look. Very natural. So maybe you want a little less pepper I should say a little more pepper and a little less salt. Well, why not go with Madison Reed Mister? It's easy to use. You just go online, match it up to your hair color, and just apply a little color gel. And then the activator, let it sit for 10 minutes, rinse, and shampoo, and pow, done. They'll deliver it right to your door. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10.
We're going to zoom. We're going to zoom, zoom.
Please.
We're going to zoom, zoom.
That intro is like 4 minutes long.
Well, they had no content for the show. Ugh. Okay, it was like being punished. My child was like, I was being tortured. All right, what else we got?
Well, let's if your only friend was the kids from Zoom, Japan can help you with that. And I think we have a video to show you here. Scientists
like a robot
in Japan,
friend or something.
Weirder, much weirder. Scientists in Japan have developed a robot. Wait for it. Hand for single guys to walk around with.
Ew.
That stimulates the holding of a woman's hand. It squeezes your palm. It even sweats. It produces some sort of moisture. So we're showing you a video of how he's wearing it. So you feel like you're holding hands with another human being.
You know, it's got to be weird when you're like sitting around and planning this stuff out. Like, we're going to make a hand. It sweats. It feels just like a woman's touch. You know, so for fellas on the subway, they don't feel lonely. You know what I mean?
There's got to be a disembodied hand to keep them company.
There's got to be someone at that meeting going, "We're talking about a Jack buddy, right?" No.
Like, how dare you?
Like you'd go to the opera, but you don't have a date.
Right. It's a companion.
Yeah, but what happens when you get home from the opera?
Well, you charge it up.
Well, that's your business.
Does it need to sweat? Couldn't I just spin in it?
You don't appreciate that it produces its own lubrication?
I'm just saying, I don't think I'm twisted. I think guys are going to buy this thing for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be security and comfort while they're taking a walk through the woods.
You apply it to your shoulder, you know, the hand on your shoulder.
This is going downstairs. This is immediately
going. Oh, the
going.
Knee?
On your
there?
Knee?
Can we just call it what it is so we can...
Yeah, I got it. Foot massager. I understand. Oh. We all love it.
All right. Can I take the prototype back this weekend just to put it through its paces?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, a little QC. R&D. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'll keep it in a warm, dry place. I'll make sure and wipe it down real good before I bring it back.
And remember, it applies a lot of pressure because we really like if you're in a time of turmoil, that hand can squeeze pretty hard. So watch out when you're holding hands with it. Yeah, we don't want it to rip any of your appendages off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How are we doing with that adapter, that spinner adapter for the were we working on that, or is that just something I was thinking about?
I think you may have been just thinking that. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, do tell.
All right, well, then
I didn't get that memo.
Scratch the spinner lube adapter. All right, Gina, let's do one more.
All right. Well, who doesn't love a dollar store? Apparently, some people don't like the dollar store because they think it's cheap because it's only a dollar, or there's some sort of shame fog surrounding a dollar store that they just don't feel secure and they don't feel cool when they're in a dollar store. So there is an option. The dollar store is now going high end to the $5 store. Because apparently that's just more people's speed.
It's called Big Lots.
You just lost my parents.
They're opening a line of stores, Dollar Store General. Dollar General's opening a line of Pop Shelf. That will be higher end items.
Mm.
Pop Shelf. Mm. Everything will be sold for around $5. The first two are opening in Nashville, and they're going to open 30 more around the country by the end of next year. And I got to tell you, I'm intrigued.
I'm going to pick up the box set of Zoom over there for $5. Still, if you're going out on a first date and you're bragging about your, you know, FICO score, probably shouldn't work in that you've graduated from the dollar store to the $5 store. I don't think that's a panty dropper, is it, Gina?
No. No, but remember, what was the other one? You compared two things. One was having your grocery store scanner on your keychain. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one?
Yeah, it was the gym membership.
No.
The Uber sticker on your car.
It was Uber sticker.
Uber sticker.
Yeah, because gym membership's good. It's a Ralph's Club card from the keychain or Uber sticker on your car in terms of freaking the ladies out.
Right. Dries you up faster.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, we got Geico. Do you rent? Do you own? Well, you do one or the other. How about you save some money, make it easy by bundling? You go to geico.com. Makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you bundle at Geico. That's geico.com. All right, I'm going to do a one-on-one stereo app interview with the great Perez Hilton. So we'll take a quick break. I'll be right back with Perez right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hey guys, Sean Hayes here. Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and I had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to sit down with not one, not two, but three presidents of the United States on our recent episode of Smartless. That's because President Biden, a returning guest, brought two of his favorite pals, former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, all joined us for unforgettable conversation. It's a historic episode of Smartless as we pry into the minds of these remarkable leaders. We'll cover everything from their time in office, America's responsibilities in the world, and their personal passions in an episode full of some candid stories, insightful perspectives, and a few surprises along the way. Whether you're a political junkie or just curious about the inner workings of the Oval Office, this episode is a must listen. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to hear from three of the most influential figures in recent American history. Follow Smartless on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.